Edna writes, and she says, "Hi, Chris. I'm hoping that you can help me clear things up. I just listened to the Mark Driscoll Vision Casting show. I'm curious at all the visions. Are all visions bad? My church recently went through a huge process of developing a vision for our church. I'm not part of the leadership, so I don't know if there was any words from God or any revelations from God regarding this. The leaders went on to retreats. They read books, Sticky Church by Larry Osborne and It by Craig Rochelle, and came up with a vision for which we are now supposed to be acting out of. I'm wondering if this type of vision is wrong or if it is only when they are saying that they have heard from God. And here's a link to my church's website. We are really lost here. There are many errors that we are working against, but I'm wondering, is this yet another one?" Now, okay, before I read from your church's brand new vision statement, I want to make something clear. There are two types of visions, so to speak, when it comes to vision casting in the church. Okay, there is a hard-boiled kind and a soft-boiled kind. I'll kind of put them into those categories. The hard-boiled kind, that's the bad kind, for sure. And the reason why is because it's basically claiming that you've received a vision from God, and then to question the vision or the leader who received the vision is to actually question God himself. And what I find is that in every single one of those cases, the so-called vision that is given to the so-called leader somehow gives them warrant to exempt themselves from what the Bible has clearly commanded pastors to be doing and be about the business of doing. They somehow receive direct exemptions from God. Okay, all the other churches have got to abide by the Great Commission and Luke 24, proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But this church, because this pastor has shown himself worthy to receive a direct vision from me to do church for the unchurch, that somehow exempts them from, you know, the biblical office and of the biblical pastoral office. So in every single one of those cases, that what happens is that the vision from God is understood as being prophetic. Okay. That is dangerous, and I would say 99.9999999% of the time, it's not good. In fact, anybody who's claiming to have those kinds of visions, they immediately must be put under huge scrutiny. The Bible demands this, that anybody who claims to be speaking prophetically, they have to be tested against God's word. And so anybody who's claiming direct revelation, they go into a different category in the Christian church. That's the way it ought to be. Okay, this person's claiming direct revelation. So now we've got to actually severely scrutinize everything this guy's teaching and to validate whether or not the vision is from God or not. Okay? We're to test those things. I mean, think of it this way. I mean, as heretical as the Roman Catholic Church is, they are very slow to validate so-called Marian apparitions. I mean, there's a whole process that has to be gone through. And by the way, I would say Marian apparitions, just prima facie, none of them are actually Mary. I mean, just flat out. So their theology is whack there, and so we should not be expecting apparitions of the Virgin Mary popping up and giving us communication. So I would basically say, biblically, we can basically say every single one of those, none of them are true. Okay, but that being the case, the Roman Catholic Church is very slow to embrace any so-called Marian apparitions, and there's a whole process they supposedly go through. Okay, my question is that. In Protestantism, and kind of using a big term here, in those churches that are non-Roman Catholic, that are supposedly heirs of the Reformation, why is it that we don't scrutinize and really put the thumb screws down on anybody who's claiming to receive direct revelation from God? In fact, anybody who's claiming direct revelation needs to be basically rung through the ringer. Okay? I mean, we're talking, they need to be able to navigate the entire theological doctrinal gauntlet. Everything needs to be thrown at them, including the kitchen sink, and their vision needs to be held as false until they've run that gauntlet. You understand what I'm saying? That's exactly what should be going on. So that's the hardcore version of it. And I would say, first of all, there's no biblical warrant. There's no biblical reason for us to believe that an individual pastor is supposed to receive a vision on how to do church in a particular congregation. The church as a whole has a mission, and each individual church is to be baptizing, teaching all that Christ has commanded. By the way, when you look at the Great Commission, okay, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Notice the words, teaching them all that I have commanded you. Okay, in the Great Commission itself is a direct order to teach only God's word, Christ, and what he has taught. Okay, and since Christ is God, that all of God's word then is to be taught. So the idea here is that if Christ hasn't commanded it, hasn't taught it, if it's not found in, if we cannot verify that its origin is in the mind of God, it's not to be taught in church. Baptizing, teaching all that I have, right? Okay, so even in the Great Commission itself, the idea of pure doctrine, rightly taught, it's included. It's not just a shady inference. It's a direct command right there in the Great Commission. Anyway, second kind of vision casting, by the way, we'll call it the soft-boiled kind, for lack of a better way of categorizing it. And what I would say is that the soft-boiled kind goes like this. We're not claiming to receive a direct vision from God. What we're claiming here is that we're thinking very intentionally and very strategically about how to organize everybody in the church, to achieve a particular mission or vision, right? Okay, in the business world, the name of that, by the way, is called management by objective. And then the idea is this. In the business world, that's a perfectly legitimate thing to do, okay? The problem is that in the church world, no church has the authority to have its own vision or mission statement. There is no authority given to any congregation to do this. So, Anna, what I did is I took a look at your church's website, and I want to read this to you, okay? Show you where the problem is. What is the vision of our church? I'll leave them anonymous for right now. Our vision is to be, quote, prayerfully building a visible community of Christ's disciples, to which I would say, huh? What does that mean? So here's their core values. Our six core values are obey God's word. What about believe the gospel? How come obey God's word? Notice the emphasis is on the law, not the gospel. Live out a global concern. I have no idea what that is, nor do I know where the biblical warrant is for that. Minister through the local church. Isn't that what you guys are? Maintain cultural relevance. Where in the Bible are we told to do that? Maintain cultural relevance? That's ridiculous. Okay? That assumes, some Pelagian assumptions there. Practice our character and calling. You can make a biblical case for that. And stand united in our statement of faith. So here's what I would say, Anna. You got a problem there. Because your brand new mission, vision statements, and core values, some of them, first of all, can't be supported from the Word of God. This is, live out a global concern. I don't even know what that means. Where is the gospel in this? Okay, when you look at what it is that Christ has commanded the church to do, you look ground zero, Great Commission, and Luke chapter 24, where Jesus basically says to the disciples, proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Okay, so we got a message, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. We've got a commission, disciple the nations, baptizing and teaching all that Christ has commanded, right? And I don't see that being fleshed out here in this new vision and mission statement for your church. So there's a serious problem here, and this I think goes to the fact that they're listening to the book Sticky Church and It by Craig Groeschel rather than what Christ has taught and what Christ has commanded. This is a formula for doctrinal and theological drift. Not only that, it's a formula for creating a so-called church where it becomes a madhouse of works, rather than a place where you can sit, rest, and be fed God's word. Yeah, I would say your church has definitely jumped the shark here and gone the wrong direction. And at this point, it doesn't matter if it's the hard-boiled vision or the soft-boiled version kind. These objectives are not part of what of the biblical mandate for the church as a whole, and no individual congregation is to have its own unique, separate mission vision statement. That vision is given to the church as a whole. Individual congregations are tasked with the job of discipling and baptizing. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So.